tells us here that the words that you speak. So somebody else, you go and meet him.
He says, you don't even know that he's going through anything. For his own declaration is when they say there's a casting down, we say that there is a lifting up. That arise and shine, for thy light has come. And he's making powerful declarations. He said that's the person that the Holy Ghost can walk through. Your words set the landmark as to how far can go, God can go within your life. If you say it cannot be done, then God cannot do it. If you say it is impossible, then God cannot make it possible. He says, open your mouth wide and I will do what? Feel it. If you speak the way you feel, then your life goes down to how you are feeling. You can raise the standard of your life with your words. You can change the course of your life with your words. You can start today redirecting where you are going with your words. If you have been saying negative things for a long time, it might take some time to overcome the effect of the negative words you have been speaking. But when you overcome those things, right, and take all the limitations of your consciousness, then the reality of Christianity, all right, now seeps into your life and things, all right, begin to happen. So Jesus said this, he said their words were gracious. Luke 18 here, Luke 4 verse 20, all right, and it talks about the fact that verse 20, all right, Luke 4 here, it says, and they said, it's not Joseph's son, and then look at what Jesus said in verse 23. He said, and he said, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatever you've heard in Capernaum do in this country also. He said, but verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Next verse, he said, but I tell you of a truth. He said, there's a truth I want to get across to you. Were there not many widows? He said, I want to show you a secret. In Israel, in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months with great famine throughout the land. Nigeria is not as bad as this. 3.5 years, no rain. Great famine. An impossible situation. He said, were there not many widows? He said, but unto none of them was Elijah sent except unto Zarephath there, a city. All right, Zarephath, this says Zarephath in the Old Testament. I don't know why they are saying this one here. A city of Sidon unto a woman that was a widow. In other words, when somebody is sent to you, what is going on in your environment is relevant. No matter how bad the situation seems, if an anointing is sent to you, that anointing tells you what to do to break that thing. Next thing, Naaman was there, a leper. The anointing showed up, was sent to him, Elisha, and the Bible tells us about the complete cleansing and his body. But he knew exactly what to do, right, from that particular anointing there. So the Bible tells us, all right, about being sent. So if you are there, and how do people get sent to you? Right, and let me just quickly run through this gulf of time. Look more at this. The best example of somebody being sent. Now, to show you the importance of being sent, didn't you hear Jesus said, he said, our house is desolate. He said it will remain desolate until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That you don't know that you need that kind of input into your life. He said, until you say, that's why he said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. Which means that they bring to you something. But that thing doesn't come because the person is preaching. It comes because, all right, you asked that. I mean, I remember once, I've said this a couple of times here, went to preach there I went to Dr. Dollar's conference and I prayed. I mean, I needed a breakthrough in something in church, so I prayed. So I went there to hear. And sometimes we don't know the order of God, so we don't hear anything. We don't have any preacher preach to us, but we just believe by ourselves. Do you get what I'm saying here? Put up Isaiah 30. Let me show you the order here. It's very clear. Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 here. It says that in verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, In returning and in rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you will not. Which means, a luta continua. But you said, he said, have you suffered so many things in vain? No, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore they that pursue you shall be swift. Verse 17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of word. At the rebuke of five shall you flee till you be left as a beacon on the top of a mountain, as an ensign on a hill. Verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry when he shall hear it. He will answer thee. So you cried. God said, I will answer that cry. He says, though you gave bread of adversity, you are in adversity and the water of affliction. What is going to bring the change? Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers, which means become apparent to you, and your ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way to go. Which means Colinius prayed. He said, your prayers have come as a memorial. Therefore, send for this particular person to come in, and he will tell thee words by which you and your house shall be saved. Why didn't the angel thus tell Colinius the words? Because that's the order. And when we don't want any input from anybody in our life, I'm telling you, that's why, look, just look at people say, all I just do is I read my Bible. I just read my Bible by myself. It ain't going anywhere. You ain't going anywhere. Look at those who say, I just read my Bible. I just read my Bible by myself. You ain't going anywhere. Right? So you pray there. And God has created this system so that nobody feels exalted. Because somebody comes into your life and preaches, but even what you understand is deeper than what he preached. So even the preacher can't say I'm the one responsible for it. Neither can you say by your own self, I did it. So everybody balances out. The only person that takes the glory is God. Because if the preacher says it's me, then we'll tell the preacher, well, there were 2,000 people there. I will tell you that 500 of them, I will show you where they are. Then you know it is not you. 24,000 people from Moses' ministry were overthrown in the wilderness one day. How can Moses say that it's me? So what do you do? It says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will do what? Set. So it takes prayer there that God set. All right? I mean, I said this, I went there and I prayed. So a couple of others has to, I've got to, he was preaching, I've got to hear from you, God. I've got to hear from you. Right? The way Kenneth Copeland built his ministry, he said, Kagan used to have 10 meetings every year. They would write their calendar, they had those 10 meetings. Then the rest, they can take invitation. He said, it is those meetings they heard God. You sit down and you hear God. All this 21 days challenge, let me tell you how I got it. I was at Southwest Believers Convention. Copeland was preaching, had finished. He just turned around. He said, you know, my mother was praying. I didn't get saved. He said that one day, she saw that scripture, cast your care upon the Lord. He said she took it, and that scripture just hits me. Bah! But you can sit down and be reading into your house. You won't say anything. You follow me? So he says everything changes. I mean, I must close by saying this. Who was it? For Moses. God called Moses. 40 years after, God sent Moses. He wasn't called then. He was called when it entered into his heart. And if you want to do ministry, I just want to understand, there's a difference between when you are called and when you are sent. The day Paul got saved was the day he was called. God said, I've called you. The day he was sent was when they said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. If you move without being sent, your words will be gracious, but nothing else will happen. They will just say, you are anointed. Why are people not coming? And you are anointed.
Jesus said, when I sent thee, did you lack anything? In other words, when he doesn't send you, you will lack. So you'll be anointed, but as the more you preach, the drier your pocket is. Before you know, you'll be angry at the people. All what I've shared. Look at what they are giving here. Listen, listen, I know. But the Bible says the prophets were honored in his country. You dishonor me. That's what the Bible says. So he begins to commit murder. Because he has not yet been sent.
Let me show you this massive scripture that transforms the difference between religion and Christianity here. This is what the whole of the charismatic Pentecostal movement, Matthew 15 here. Then came the scribes and Pharisees, which were in Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? And they wash, Matthew 15, 2, and they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by, I like Jesus, he answered them back straight. Why do you also transgress? I mean, if somebody answers now, they'll say, you are not a man of God. He says, why do you two command by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth the father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, I mean, these guys had twisted the Bible. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. So what they said was that, these Pharisees, that if, see, instead of giving to your parents, if you give to us, that scripture concerning your parents, our giving to us is higher than giving to your parents. So they neutralized giving to their parents and were collecting everything. This is why I say that you can't steal money and give offering. Are you following what I'm saying? So you can teach it in a system. And he said, look, you guys have corrupted everything. And then he went on and said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, which means all of the worship and service is in vanity, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. He said, you see, leave the doctrine of men, leave vain worship, hear and understand this. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth him. He said, understand that. He said, it's not what you goes into your mouth that will defile you. He said, it's what comes out of your mouth, which means the words you are speaking, that's what is going to defile. That's what will get into your heart. So he gave them that, the spoken word, the word on your lips. And what brought about the transformation in the Pentecostal movement was that immediately understood people have been praying and praying and praying. All right. And then they understood that, listen, but their words are not, the people that understood it, words are not consistent with their prayers. Those that didn't understand it and get a revelation said, we don't have to pray again, we'll just be saying it. Those that got the revelation said, listen, we should be praying this way, but with it, we should operate in faith. In other words, God's word concerning this should be on our lips, because when we are praying that way, as we say it, it enters into our heart and gives light. It enters into our heart. It is no longer a mechanical thing. In other words, when I'm confessing scriptures, it's not mechanical, because as I'm saying it, there are flashes of inspiration inside my consciousness. I'm receiving instruction. That word is unfolding on the inside of me, entering my heart. So it's not just I'm just repeating the thing. In fact, I said this on Thursday, I have never read anywhere, neither have ever heard anybody preach the way I meditate. The way the Holy Ghost taught me, it's for me. All right? In other words, I tried to do what I was reading, and then he came and impressed upon me, add this thing to it. So, if I take a set of confession, and I confess it today, by tomorrow, he will have taken some more scriptures, and so there's more light. And there are things, that's why, as you're meditating, a thing is getting on the inside of you, and the revelation is growing inside your heart. All right? So let me close by saying what happens. So, if you hear a person preach, two things can happen. First one we saw there. The gifts of the Holy Ghost are in operation, word of wisdom. The man hears clearly. Go and dip yourself into the water. Clear. It's not there. It tells the woman, go and borrow vessels. Clear. Word of wisdom.
But also it could be that you come to find the scriptures like Daniel. You've come to see the scriptures that, all right, concerning your life. You didn't know those things were in the Bible. You saw a lot of scriptures there. And then what you do in Jeremiah 15, verse 12, 16. It says, thy words were found, and I did do what? Jeremiah eats them. It says that when you eat the word of God, there was unto me the joy and the rejoicing. Now, this is what we're saying. When you are eating the word of God, and God's word is getting inside you, right, it brings about joy and gladness to your heart. Where does that come from? You start experiencing those scriptures inside your consciousness. You start experiencing it. All right? The word when it says, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, and meditation requires your vocal cords. You are saying it. Incline your ear to my sayings. You are hearing it. Let them not depart out of your eyes. You are having visual expressions of it. It says it's life unto those that find them. That word find means feel or handle. So what happens is, as you are doing that and meditating on scriptures, right, then you handle. You're inside your heart. It's just like if you like ice cream and they give you a particular ice cream, you're like, So it says the word of God, when it enters, you have that same feeling. Do you get what I'm saying? When you say taste of the Lord and see that he's good, you taste him there. You don't just understand, you have started tasting the Lord there, which means you started experiencing it inside your consciousness. That's why the Bible says, when God showed me scripture, I was meditating. He said, look at it. I didn't say I'm on the outside. I'm walking on the outside. He says, God is at work in you both to will, that's to desire, and to do of his own good pleasure. He said, then I said, work out that salvation. In other words, what I do is inside you. So I make you desire it, and then I make you fulfill it inside. He said, you know what that means? So when you go on the outside, it's normal. I've made a miracle normal. If you say there's a competition for high jump, all right, and you've been practicing by yourself, which is meditation now, and you've scaled 1.2 meters, you've done it, at the beginning was hard, you've done it several, now it's at 1.7, you are struggling. And then they say there's a competition now, they put it at 1.2. You will unconsciously, without thinking about it, all right? Meditation is like you're trying to learn how to drive. You are conscious, you are sweating, you are listening, everything. When it has entered your system, you just drive. They can call you, you can use your, you understand, you just drive. When the word enters into you, you don't even know how it gets fulfilled, it just gets fulfilled. If you eat food, you don't understand how it gets digested. Once it has entered, another system is responsible for distribution. Somebody else is responsible for making that thing work. It just, what happens, you just go out and you're walking out, all right, and things just begin, there's joy inside your heart. It says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul when thou found it. You're meditating on God's word, it starts expanding your consciousness. What you thought was impossible 2 weeks ago, you are seeing it happen in your life. It's real to you. And let me tell you, what hasn't happened inside you, what you have not seen, if it happens in your heart, there is no force that can stop it from happening in your life. You know, I used to preach this before. I should go back to these messages. You know, before the white man came and brought camera, started taking photographs. Everybody, witchcraft. So when they started doing camera, they'll take your photograph and let's say like Polaroid, they'll bring it out. This is how you are. I'll say to Yoruba, the Yoruba will look at it, which means this one is beyond witchcraft. There's nothing we can do with witchcraft to affect camera. Say this technology is beyond us. So what they said was, "Oro orogun ya mi se mi o si ni oro photo. Bo ba se pose be lu se ma bare." In other words, there is nothing like your stepmother's witchcraft doing you. If you sit down and you cross your leg like this, when they take the photograph, we can't interfere with it. When it comes out, this is exactly how you are. What they were saying was that there's no witchcraft that can affect. Once the negative is like that, the actual thing will be that way in reality. Once you have the photograph in your consciousness, nothing can stop it from happening inside your life. In other words, it's the inner image that is being reflected on the outside. So let me give you an example. Don't be offended, though. Please, don't be offended. And if you're offended, you have to forgive me before you go. Let me give an example here. If somebody says to you, "Ah, I'm looking for 2,000 naira. I don't know where I placed it." You say, "Yeah." You know, he can be looking, if he climbs and is hanging, you can say, on top of 2,000, you want to die. 2,000. But if that person says, "I'm looking for 20 million. I don't know where I put it." Eh? Eh? 20 million. How can you forget where you are? How can you forget where you put 20 million? Climb, climb. What are you saying? Now, but there are people who can say, "I'm looking for 20 million. Where did I put that 20 million? And all of them say, "Eh, eh." And they are not stressed. Listen, don't be angry, because their capacity is like that. Let me tell you. But there are people that have property that they can't remember. It's when they open the file, they say, "Ah, who is inside that house?" There are some people on the land. "Okay, what are they doing?" Then, "Okay, look at it." Say, "Eh? You're checking." It depends on what is happening inside. Are you following what I'm saying there? I remember when we started church, he went to see a pastor. He told me, he said, "You can get this, bought a keyboard." He said, "You should get this kind of keyboard." I was looking at him like, "Oh boy." Hey, Ronaldo, I said, "You know what?" He said, "Just 240,000. I think he looked at my face. He said, "If you see it as a lot of money, then that is the problem." An elderly friend of mine told me what a politician told me. Because I went to preach in Abuja, so I was telling them that, "Look, this Christian thing, there is a way this thing is. You don't have to be governor, you don't have to be president. You just have to be in the room." That I learned from American days. Pat Robertson did everything. Pat Robertson got Jimmy Carter elected as president of America. When he got him elected as president, Jimmy Carter took the list of evangelicals for his toit and went. Forgot about them. The evangelicals struggled again. They said the fulfillment of our 40 years of labor was George Bush. He said, but when he got there, they were making fun of Christians, everything. Their heart broke. In fact, the guy closed and said, "We have learned something. You cannot be prophet and king. Choose one. It's either you are prophet or you are king. We are going back to be prophets." Then I saw those same men again when it was time for Trump. But I understood what they were doing. That, look, now we get the game. This is politics. Trump was the typical man that they will preach that the works of the flesh is what Trump was doing, that they will call the works of the flesh. So how do you support? But they said they had realized. I think they found out that when a man feels forgiven, he feels indebted to you. You know, Jesus said, "To whom much is forgiven, that is forgiven much, loveth much." The one that felt entitled, that what else again? I'm a born again Christian. What are you saying? All right. So he is wondering, "You pastors are with me. What do you want? I will help you. What do you want? Tell me. I will sign it. You mean you are with me?" And then I heard Bishop Butler say something. I got it. He said, "We realized that it is not the office of the president that counts, really." He said, "It is making sure your man is the last person." Isn't that what they are saying? Kabal, kabal. Eh? Is the last person to see him before he sleeps. So you tell him things that he will sleep on. And when he wakes up, is your man is the first person he meets with, so that he directs his thoughts for the day. That one doesn't cost money. It's loyalty. Faithfulness. Hillary Clinton spent $1.2 billion USD. That is about 500 billion naira. Next morning, you are drinking coffee in your house by yourself. Your phone will not ring. All the people that are calling you incoming. You will see them with it. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you, I believe some people don't recover. You know, many people that do politics, it's a trauma. They don't recover the PTS, that's post-traumatic stress. That's, they are just in this. You just see them getting old. What happened? It's not an easy thing. No. A friend was telling me something. He said his father was a politician. He went for many swearing-ins. He said, when they're handing over,
When the governor comes, everybody stands. ADC, security. Once you hand over, the ADC does this. To the man, new man. You leave that podium by yourself. I saw Thabo Mbeki hand over to Jacob Zuma. His bodyguard, when he finished the handover, hugged. Power, they're hugging you. He turned like this. He put his hand to his bodyguard. He stepped back and turned like this. He walked. Listen, he almost did not see the staircase. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why I even tell people. It's better to enter ministry that God didn't send you. At least. When you preach and preach, and nothing happens, you even have money, you come out. But politics, I have seen billionaires become plumbers. Are you following what I'm saying? Politics. People who want everything, finding themselves in their room. Politics. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and expand it in our consciousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.